Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth is Out There, Voice of the People radio show. I'm here with Scarlett, and we got our friend Lauren here, and we're going to bring them all on in a second. A couple of things I'm going to get on my chest. One is, for those that are into sports, this is the playoff time, and there's a lot of people doing the playoff stuff. And so far, there's a lot of good games out there. Jacksonville came back. It was down by 27-0, ended up winning. Miami Dolphins lost today, but they actually gave Buffalo a fit. They almost pulled it off. And the Giants, as going into the fourth, is up 24-21 over Minnesota. But the thing is that if you're a betting person and you bet the Dolphins, you won big, even though they lost, because they were 14-point underdogs or more, and they lost by three. So that's the thing there. Now, something else. Life is short and to everyone, and you don't know what's going to happen from one minute to another. You should live your life to the fullest and never shut doors on things that you don't know. And the door should always be open, because you shouldn't, you know, there's an old line saying when one door closes, another one opens up. That is true. But sometimes people make mistakes, and we know about those mistakes. And that's one of the reasons why I leave doors open on people that got misguided or misjudged or been antagonized or whatever, maybe bullied or addiction, whatever. I always left the door open. I've never closed the door on a certain person. That person has the right to have a life and fulfill her passions and her dreams, and I always believed in that, despite other people that have been blocking that. But the door has always been open, so anytime you want to walk into that and start having a life, that's fine. it's up to you, but you got to concentrate on one thing, and that's bringing up your child. And that's the most important thing right now, is to focus on your son and focus on your life and get healthy. And that's why life is short. Never take things for granted. Always look straight and move forward and learn from your mistakes so you don't repeat it. And that's my PSA for today. Now, let me introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How you doing, Scarlett?
I am good. How are you?
All right. And let me bring our friend Lauren back. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing good. I should ask how you are, but Scarlett just asked you, and you said you're good. So I'll take that as taking it into the bank. Yeah, you are good.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm great. I'm great. You know, beginning of the week, so I'm looking forward for this week. It's a lot of things supposed to happen. I'm in contact with the government. I'm in contact with the state, the Attorney General. And we're working for some things to take place, and I'm on standby. And a lot of people coming to me in the last 48 hours to say what you're doing, when you can do it. And I'm saying it's all up to the governor to get this thing going. We're all in place. My team is in place. We're ready to execute the programs, as I said, when I told the Governor DeSantis just yesterday, because we tweet back and forth. And privately,
sure.
But it comes public. And I told them, everything's ready to be executed. It's all up to you when you're ready. And that's
okay.
What's that. We broke it down. I think I talked about a little bit of it. We broke it down to compartments, so to speak. I have someone who's going to take the corporate and the BSO. I have a team that is going to work with special needs. We're going to we lost the 911 call center. The BSO used to be in charge of the call center in Broward County. And the ineptitude the mismanagement of the call center by the current sheriff made things very difficult, and they had to take it away. What we need to do is to get it back. We need to upgrade the system, make it up to date, expand it, tie it into the 911 centers for both Palm Beach County as well as Miami-Dade County, make it the unit, one big giant unit call center, because this way if there's something happening on the border, we don't have to worry about just jurisdiction. It's just one side or the other side can come and help out and not worry about it. Because right now in Broward County, the Fort Lauderdale Police cannot help Hollywood Police, even though it's right on the border, and that's got to stop. And so we got to work with everybody to help everyone, because time is the essence, and we need to find ways to do it, because I want to reduce the waiting time for response time from 5 to 10 minutes down to 2 to 5 minutes or less. And the best way to do that is upgrade the system, expand it, and retrain all the ones that handle 911 calls and get them properly trained so they can dispatch the calls properly in such a manner that we can get the people that need the help at the fastest possible moment. Because time is in the essence. That will help save crimes, so save crimes and save lives. So we're working on that. We got all that. We got to go into the communities. We're going to have the Guardian Angels from New York days, Curtis Lewa. He's going to be working with us. And I got two former police commissioners out of New York working with us. And that's the team. And we're all ready to go.
Yeah, I've talked to Chris Lewa. He's really into it. He has a cat program, especially for senior cats, which I think is a really great idea.
Yeah, it's called the Cat Angels.
Really?
Scarlett saw it or not, but we have a picture of all the different type of cats wearing the beret, the Guardian Angels red beret.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was really, really into cats, and I am too, but, you know, like, I guess
bunch.
He is more than that. I mean, he talks about all these cats.
Well, they're doing it more for special needs kids, special needs adults, and stuff like that. And,
and it's a services thing.
But because it's one of the things we're working on down here is for people that are special needs to get the proper care. And it's not just a BSO thing, but it's everyone's thing. And with the governor and Casey DeSantis and others are working closely with that, plus the addictions. We've got things ready to go and operate, and we're not going to take a knee for anybody except for God. And that's it, because we know how to handle things. We're not going to be political, because crime and injuries does not see, or, you know, medical crisis do not go by parties. They go across party lines or sexual. It doesn't matter who you are. We will treat everybody the same and according to what's going on, you know, because you never know the situation. But we got to treat everybody in the same way to protect and serve the whole community, not just a segment. And that's all going to be trained.
I don't know what to say about the cats. I like cats, but wow. You know?
Yeah, that's
really
more
into cats than I am. I didn't think there was anybody like that.
I don't know if I posted on Twitter, but I did post on Facebook the cat the cat patrol.
I didn't see that,
you know?
But I'm not on Facebook, so I looked at Twitter. I haven't seen anything about cats.
Yeah.
It's on
Curtis's page, so you'll see it. And it's on my page, too, now.
Okay.
But, I'll
look for it.
I'd like to return to the 911. So if there's no 911 call center, what happens when people call in?
They call it now, but it's controlled by other people. And we don't know if they're properly trained. We don't know how they're using the system.
So who's picking up the calls?
Not the 911, but when you have control, private entity or local governments, in other words, could be Fort Lauderdale, for example. But the point is, when we have the 911 call center.
What about arresting a call or EMS or the police or fire department, whatever it may be?
The response time may be delayed because we don't know where it's picking up these calls.
Do they know what they're doing?
I don't know. I haven't seen any kind of problems yet directly, but we're working on doing basically.
Was that the government that did it or the sheriff? Was that Broward County Mayor?
They have a contract. Okay, they have a contract that's been there, and the BSO was running the call center, and they were doing a pretty decent job, but you had some problems here and there because what Tony did was, instead of going for the best qualified, he started to become political and started going by affirmative action and the woke and all that other stuff, and that's going to end.
Skin color.
Yeah, whatever. That's got to end. It's the best qualified.
You
got to qualify. It's not just picking up a phone call. You got to know first you got to know the codes. Second, you got to know where everything is. You got to understand what the board is.
You have to handle the call.
Of
the call.
Right.
So,
you got to be able to talk to the person that's in trouble.
And direct it and make sure it's all done fast and to the best.
You got to be able to be forceful and calm at the same time, because this way, if something's going on, you got to be able to talk them through it. And if you can't do that, it could cause more damage.
Whatever, suicide or someone's breaking
just talk
in the house,
you got
to
learn how to talk them down.
Mommy and daddy are sick and they're on the floor and they're not responsive.
You got to talk. You got to talk.
They
have
to
learn
how
to talk them down. You got to learn how to talk them down and get the information while causing them to panic. And that takes training, and that's the difference. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. You could actually talk people down for anything if you know what you're doing. But the,
there's
a 911 school. We're going to be building
a 911 school to get ready to learn, to take notes, to do homework, to practice it, to get ready to engage, not just hire them and throw them on the thing.
Yeah, one of the best
One
of the best 911 centers. The calls coming in for training. The people in there with New York City, the NYPD had one of the best back in the day when under Bratton and under Bernie Kurik. And those two will be working with me to rebuild the 911 center here in Brown.
Why doesn't each town have a 911 call center? What's wrong with that?
Because if you don't, because you got problems with communication from town to town. Number one, it's a communication thing.
But if you call within the town, hold it. Say I call because I'm here in Sunrise, right? And you and the police department here in Sunrise or whatever it is delegates it because it's here in Sunrise to the spot here in Sunrise. Why can't they do that?
It will be set up that way. It will be set up that way. That's what they know what the number's coming in. They know where the location of the call is coming in.
Yeah.
And they know as soon as you call 911, they have your number. They have your location. Don't forget, every phone has a GPS in it now. They know exactly if you're using a cell. If you're doing a landline, it's easier. But either way, they have your location. And they're going to ask you to verify it anyway. And then they know which town or which area to call because it's all on the computer system that's set up. It's integrated in such a way that all you have to do is call it in to the nearest user that's there and be all on the board. And it's done properly. Your respond time could be 1 to 2 minutes or 3 minutes to max. And that's the training.
Right.
But you also,
and then they
pull
the fire trucks, EMS pulls up, they come straight in, they assess the situation, and they do what they got to do.
Right.
Okay? And it's important. Lives, you know, saving lives. And
that's
what
key.
It's all about.
See, you know, that's the key, and there's a lot of different things there, but, you know, we have, it's not just, this is all stuff that we do, but we also got to go into schools and to libraries and to businesses,
you know,
and the communities itself to talk about
Did
things.
Did you know that? Schools got rid of the nurse.
That's not good because people, kids
Dr.
get
sick. Osgood. Dr. Osgood did that. Okay.
Remember
in the 50s, girls got sick. They went to the nurse. The nurse gave them something. They helped them. They called the parents. The parents came and signed them out. And, you know, it was organized. And had respect and care about. These days, they're not doing anything. Can we switch topic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, you still here?
I'm still here. I'm right here.
Okay. Are you following the Joe Biden gate with the docs?
Well, you know, I try not to follow politics too much because it's just like, one insult after another from Republicans to Democrats and Democrats to Republicans. And, you know, I think there's a better way to do it. So I just, you know, very few of these politicians will actually say the truth and have integrity. I'm looking for integrity and truth and honesty. And if they don't have it, I'm not going to listen to them. There's this big place, there's this number of people, they're called the squad, you might have heard of them, and I don't listen to them. All they do is, honest to God, they just say things, and I don't know where they come up with these things, but it's laughable.
Can you name one honest politician?
I'd be hard put to name one.
Okay, me too.
I do remember that there was one politician, he was a state senator. He wasn't sure how he felt about marijuana. I actually took over his he let me take over his staff meeting. He let me take it over for about 35 minutes, and then when it was done, he got on TV, and he was solidly against marijuana and cited my points almost word for word. I was very happy about that.
You know, one of the things, saying about that, one of the things, and I will tell the listeners, we were talking before the show, one of the things that's happening is that your talking points, what you believe and what's going on and discussions that we've been having over the last few weeks that you've been on has now hit the airwaves in TV shows like Law and Order. This past Thursday's show, Law and Order, had a story about marijuana, actually. It was about addiction initially, but it's about marijuana. See, what happened was this guy beat up this other guy, and he was never violent or anything else, and beat it up and everything. He bought marijuana from, you know, it's legal in New York, and he bought it from a store. And apparently the grade was too strong or something, and he ended up becoming violent.
Yeah,
from
THC is ridiculous nowadays. Yes, I agree with you.
It was very high.
Right, and what happened
know
was
what
he reacted.
You're buying, low THC or high THC?
You don't
want
to smoke high THC, okay? You don't, because the shit, it'll hurt you, okay?
In Holland, they consider anything over 15% THC to be a narcotic.
Yes.
You know, I want you to repeat what you just said there.
Okay, anything over 15% in the Netherlands is considered a narcotic.
Okay.
15% THC, because, you know, when people used to smoke it in Woodstock days, they say, hey, dude,
right,
I got some marijuana, it's 3%. It's not 3%, it's 15, it's 25, it's 30. It could be up to 99% THC, I mean, some of the stuff these days. And how do you know which one you're getting? You don't know.
Don't. But anyway, it was a kid. It was like 16, 17-year-old kid, this one. He ended up, turned him so bad that he killed somebody. He beat the crap out of somebody and killed
them. That happens. That happens. You know, like these, you know, advocates say it never happens. It does happen.
It does happen. Yeah. And it happens a lot because there's now 3 scientific studies that they named on the show. And it was talking about the exact same things that we were talking about just this last couple of weeks. Almost exact same words.
Really?
You know, so I think one of them had to be from the show. But the other stuff is from the other shows, the other science stuff that they've been, you know, articles and stuff like that. But they used it. And they ended up putting this guy into a mental health situation because he was not guilty because of reason of insanity because of the narcotics. And he needed treatment. But what I would have gone after was the person that sold him. Because you get rid of the source, you'll save money lives.
You know, I think education is needed. There was a show on CNN, which I usually figure that they're pretty honest, and they have been pretty honest.
Right.
Except they had this one guy on talking about marijuana, and he was lying about it. I can't see lying about it. When I say something, I try to make sure that I am telling the truth or I checked out the sources several times. You know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say propaganda because there's a lot of propaganda out there. If you can't think for yourself, then who's going to think for you? And I think I told you the situation where many years ago I went to some ashram, and the guru there, he said that God is in prison. And I thought, God's in prison? Yeah, and he named all the murders and rapes that God has done. And he said, God can walk through prison walls. Bullets won't hurt him. But he wants you to give him money. I said, God needs my money? And he said, yes, to teach you a lesson. He needs lawyers. And I thought, this sounds ridiculous. But I've been kicked out of so many back then. I was kicked out of so many religious meetings. I mean, they asked me to leave. They didn't kick me out. They just said, "Would you please leave?" That I just didn't say anything, but I tried to cover up a laugh. I was like, "This sounds ridiculous to me." You know, you have to. And these people who were looking at me, they thought this guy. I talked to them later, and they thought, "Yeah, he knows what he's talking about because he's the guru. He's the assistant to the guru. He's the assistant to God." And I was like, "This sounds like absolute nonsense to me." And that's the one thing I always go against. People must decide for themselves using their intuition, using their intellect, decide upon the answer or the solution, not have some guy tell them what the solution is. I finished.
Okay, no, you're fine. This thing, what's going on is there is no solution right now for addiction except for education. Recovery,
yes.
Securing the border, allow the police departments around the country to do their job and not handcuff them. And,
yeah,
they
have to do something about this fentanyl. I agree with you, Joe.
Okay, 300, the latest statistic is has 300 people die a day in this country for fentanyl overdosing, drug overdosing.
Yeah, and they may not even know that they're taking it because it could be laced on the marijuana. Somebody is selling something that doesn't quite give you a pop, so they say, "Well, I'll put some fentanyl in there," and they don't even think about the effects upon people. They don't think that it could kill them. Part of them doesn't care. That is shameful, and I've been trying to write on Twitter, people need to care about other people. They need to have empathy. Otherwise, we got some real trouble coming. If we're thinking that we can kill people and there's no and that's okay, that isn't okay.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the so-called administration is pushing for over-the-counter Naxalone may not help most vulnerable. What they're doing is the Biden administration. Is pushing to make some forms of opioid overdose reversal drugs available over the counter will likely have little impact on people that need it most. Public health advocates warn. You can't do it that way. The police departments have to kit every car, every police car, squad car. Everyone, you know, when they go out and they do their thing, they go on patrol. They all have it. So that if they somebody that has that's ODing, they are able to give that shot and keep them alive until they get to the hospital and let to go from there. But with fentanyl, there's a side effect. Fentanyl gives off such a powerful odor sometimes, so it's such a powerful scent that the officer that's responding or anyone that's responding to it can get overcome by the same fentanyl that's causing people OD. It's very deadly.
That's the argument that I use. You'll see that on Twitter. It's like, okay, if you're smoking, I'm not saying you, anyone is smoking, you're forcing other people, like infants and children, to smoke. And maybe they're smoking fentanyl too. You know, and that's not good. You know, if you want to take the risk yourself, like I had a friend. He always used to come over to me and say, this guy who used to play football says, "Man, I'm really tough. I can handle any kind of marijuana. I smoke it all the time. It doesn't affect me." And I said, "It's going to be the death of you." But, you know, he just laughed at me until he died, by the way. And I don't know if he got a stroke when he was real young. I don't know if it was marijuana or not, but it made me think a while. Not that I was going to smoke marijuana, but I'm thinking, all the tests they say it creates stroke, it creates heart problems for the very young, and I thought he has them exactly. He doesn't even know he has them. But anyway, go ahead.
Now, well, that's true. Look, secondhand smoke from cigarettes to pot to drugs, even. It affects everybody, especially with children. If you have a little kid, say a 2 or 3 month old little boy or girl, and you are doing drugs, smoking pot or anything like that, that little boy, that little girl is taking the same stuff that you're doing,
exactly.
And if it's And that's a danger. You are putting, you're seriously putting your child in danger. And if you,
you love that
child, and if you love yourself, but if you love that child more than anything in the world, you have to change. You cannot stay with the same environment. You cannot stay with the people that you're with, because you're slowly expediting the death of your child if you don't.
I agree with you. In fact, I've seen some studies where it's four times as much. Now, the advocates for marijuana will say, oh, this is safe. And they say some study, actually, they might say the study they made up. I mean, I've seen them, they were laughable, some of their studies. But people believe them. And, you know, so what I try to do is say, here's what's in marijuana, here's what's in cigarettes, but mostly marijuana because they want to legalize it. It's hydrogen cyanide. You know, anytime you combust carbon with nitrogen, you know, if it's high enough temperature, which marijuana will require, you get hydrogen cyanide. And then I was telling them for a while, you might have seen this, hydrogen cyanide was the primary chemical in Cyclone B used by the Nazis to kill. Certainly it was higher strength, but do you want, how much cyanide can a little kid or infant take? It's just not good for them. And if some of them say, you're lying. I said to them, well, go get your chemistry set and test it out, and they won't do it. You know,
I got a better question. I've got a question, and this is not just to one particular person, but to everybody in there. If you're a mother or father, especially if you're a mom, would you put your child's life on a study that doesn't on studies, or would you want to protect your child? How much do you want to put your life up, put your child's life up, just because you have a habit of smoking pot or any other drug? Are you willing to take that risk?
That's it.
I don't know about you.
Look at the studies. They don't have little kids there because parents don't want their kids, I'm guessing, don't want their kids part of a study where they poison them. The only person I knew who actually wanted poison, and it's probably somewhere in history, I found somebody, Adolf Hitler. He used to be, Dr. Morrell was his buddy. He used to inject him with a cocktail of poison every few days so he would build up tolerance to poisons. And it did work to some degree. But he became crazier and crazier. Do people want to be like Adolf Hitler? No.
No. Well, you know, that's a big thing. You know, but
that's a big thing.
Yeah. Look. You know, what about life? As human beings, we're supposed to be sort of for life, for the better of man, so to speak, to get things done properly and help others. And you can't do that if you're poisoning yourself.
That's it. You know, I'm a big fan against it. I'm against poisoning yourself because people say, well, we can normalize it. You can't normalize poisoning yourself or other people. It'll come out in some way. I mean, whatever you think you're stopping, and people say this to me. You know, I get people writing to me. You're a blankly blank prohibitionist. You probably guess that, and like, so I say, well, what's the answer? Is what to let people use fentanyl, use every legalized crime? Is that it? Then of course I block them if they keep sending me crazy messages like that. But you know, you can't legalize, you can't normalize poison.
No. And right now the most dangerous thing, you know, more people die in this country from drug overdose, aka fentanyl, than any other thing, disease or anything else.
I think it was 75 or 74%, something like that. That's a lot.
Right.
74 people who OD. And some people don't even know they're ODing. They're saying, well, I'll have a marijuana cigarette, and they find out it's part of it's fentanyl, you know, or carfentanyl.
And some people take advantage of people that are stolen out of the mine. They steal from them, they rape them, and they kill them sometimes. And those people you do not want to hang out with. Because you're allowing others to destroy your body. And if you have
a child, you're destroying your
body and your child.
You know, you start destroying yourself and other people, there's no end to it. And I think that's
and
just...
And,
something holy about that.
Those people that give you the drugs, those people that give you the pot, those people that tell you it's okay, they don't give a rat's ass about you or anyone else.
They just want your money.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
They suck you in because all it is the doctor ain't recruiting you to be something so they can take your money, and then they take your soul, and then they take your body and anything else in it. And that's why here in Florida, we have in this legislature, we're making drug dealers serial killers. We're going to charge them as being serial killers. An average drug dealer kills in their lifetime over 500 people. The big time drug dealers kill over thousands. And like what President Trump wants to do nationally, we're doing here in the state of Florida. We're charging them as a serial killer, and then we're going to execute them.
Well, I'm not looking for, I don't look for punishment, but I look for education. And I remember few years ago that Governor Cuomo, he was wanting to put people who sell to preschoolers. And it does happen, because it happened to me a long time ago. People will sell drugs to you. And right out in the open, right in the light, they don't care, adults. And he was saying, if you're selling fentanyl to a preschooler, you should go to jail. And I thought, well, maybe you should. I mean, you're in serious danger. And then he was talked out of it somehow.
No, there is, in all 50 states, if you sell drugs in a school zone, it's a big-time felony punishable by many years in prison. Some of the left-wing states or the blue states will have softened that and put them out. They just don't even do the arrest anymore. Down here in Florida, you will be arrested. And we had a big-time problem in a school zone here in Broward County a couple of years ago. McDonald's, they were selling drugs out of. And I was talking to a bunch of people, including the corporates. They got rid of some of the people that were selling the drugs there, but they should have put them in jail. Certain people's lives would have been different if they did. But we know who those dealers are, and one of the things we are going to do is to make sure that they no longer are able to sell. They won't be free to sell their stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's terrible. They may be selling to somebody a little bit older who sells to somebody younger. I mean,
they shouldn't be selling at all.
It's a problem, and I think it's an educational problem, because when I've tried to go to schools and say, look, I'll talk about marijuana and I'll help educate people, they want nothing to do with me. They say that's too controversial. And they don't even call me back. We'll call you back. They never call back.
That's
or they hang up on me.
It depends on the state. Here in Florida, we have Casey DeSantis and I and Governor DeSantis and stuff. We already have a place, part of the we have a drug program where they're going into the schools, not just the middle schools or the which are junior high, middle schools, and high schools, but the elementary schools. And we're going there and doing what used to be Nancy Reagan's Don't Just Say No type thing, but we're educating the kids and stuff. But it's very – and of course, like you said, we had some pushback by the left.
I don't know who it was, I'm just telling you that every single place, every single school has rejected me. As soon as I say marijuana, we don't do that. Nothing to do with marijuana.
We're doing it here. Except for some left-wing areas, we actually got pretty good reception. We have a conservative school board here, even in Broward County, and when things are starting to change, we got some corruption that we're taking care of. Frank Charles, Chris, and Red Broward and I, we exposed it and a bunch of others. In fact, Chris was on Tucker Carlson the other day talking about the school board and the problems there, indoctrination, recruitment, and the corruption there dealing with FTX. It seems like they had a contest with the students, not just in Broward County schools, but elsewhere, involving FTX, the cryptocurrency, and this, you know, this cryptocurrency, cyber attacks, and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I know about it.
That hit the media, and we exposed it all. And Chris was on Fox News, and Tucker Carlson doing it. So that was a pretty good thing. And he was on our show just about 3 weeks ago. So,
who's that again? Chris who? I missed it.
Chris was on. You know, and this guy here was good. He was working with me, with the Broward County Sheriff's, you know, and all that stuff.
Well, I've had a different experience. In fact, the other day I called
his
up.
His name is Chris Nelson, but he could check him out at Reopen Chris. That's his media stuff.
Okay, I'll look for him. From Chris Nelson. Okay,
Ed
Nelson, the guy who used to play on all the TV, the cowboy shows. Okay.
Chris Nelson's name.
I think there's a particular way you can do it that will affect people more, and that's why I try to. Sometimes I say things which are somewhat dramatic, but they're true. You know, because I want people to listen to me. You know, because like I once taught a history class many years ago. I taught, you know, math and chemistry and physics, but this was a history class, and it was in the Ku Klux Klan area, and we did a little bit more slavery because they thought that that was a way to make money. And I thought, no, they just that's crazy, but there was a girl who was supposed to give a presentation on reparations. And, you know, I try to hide my feelings about it because I don't believe in reparations. This crazy thing. I could tell you why some other time. But she did the thing on reparations, and it sounded somewhat good because she did PowerPoint. I was just coming out, I think, at that time. And she had music and songs and stuff, and people applauded her. But she didn't really – her biggest talent was – she could show you how pregnant she was when she wasn't pregnant. She says, "I want to show you, Professor, how pregnant I can look."
She put a pillow in there?
I don't know why she did this. And she wanted to show me, and I thought, it seemed a little bit inappropriate. But anyway, she got applauded. And I don't do that. I don't do any PowerPoint or anything like that. You know, I try to get people with the truth. I try to get them to think what they're doing to other people, what they're doing to themselves, and they don't have to look at studies. You know, I might say the studies, I say look it up, but, you know, basically I look at the chemicals, cyanide, arsenic, mercury, lead, lead especially,
I don't think, when this reparations argument and stuff like that, I don't think there's a single person on this planet that's been around, that's still alive from the Civil War days.
It just sounds like a money grab to me.
Why should Scarlett, why should you or anyone else get punished for something that happened 150 years ago?
I think it's a little crazy. In fact, it's a lot crazy. You know,
but if you don't learn, but you should learn from history. Not take the statues down. Learn what's going on back then. See it to all sides as it actually happened, so you know what actually happened, and then go from there to learn, so you don't so you're not doing to repeat it again.
You can't focus on it either. If you focus on like some people on Twitter, all they talk about is slavery, slavery, slavery. It's just going to bring it about. Whatever you concentrate on, you're going to bring it about by it constantly. If you're constantly thinking,
everything is
slavery.
Right. It wasn't just about slavery. It was also about states' rights versus big government, similar to what's going on now. So there's other arguments besides that.
Yeah. but mainly I try not to focus on the negative, except when this guy, I thought he was kidding. He was saying, I'd like to be a slaver. I can make a lot of money. Now, that's not unusual when you have people on TV. They'll say, they'll talk about people making a lot of money, and that's all they talk about. And they talk about, maybe they haven't done research on it, but they'll talk about Wernher von Braun, for example, who invented the V2 rocket and had about 40,000 slaves, and he killed them all. And they said, oh, gee, he made a lot of money. Well, he made a lot of money by killing people and slavery. I mean, is that good? You know, and I embarrass him. I embarrass him doing that because, you know, that there's something unholy about that, and you'll hear me say that. If you're making money by hurting people, you don't have to necessarily kill them, but if you're hurting people, it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for the rest of the world.
You know,
and marijuana does hurt people, and so does smoking. You know, you can't normalize these things. You can find a way around it. The only person who actually had a plan, because I always ask their plan, was my friend who died. He died young. He's a big, heavy smoker of marijuana. He's a big fan of marijuana, but he died young. I don't know if it was from a stroke or heart disease, but he had a stroke and he had heart disease, and young man, and he died. So he had a plan. He said, well, I'll tell you, I try to make sure nobody else will smoke this. He went through detail by detail what he does to make sure nobody else is going to be affected by him. And I was impressed. I even said to him, look, you're a big boy. I don't care if you smoke. Just as long as you make other people smoke, I don't care.
You know, that's the key. You know, see, that's the key there. But don't see, same thing. You can do anything you want to do, but don't put it in front of me, type of thing. But, you know,
right.
But then there's also. But the other thing is that if you can save a life, go for it.
Well, I did talk to him. I was one of the first people who met him. I talked to him. We didn't get off that well, but I consider it my fault. You know, I had a preconceived notion about him, and we didn't get along that well. My problem, my fault. But the last time I talked to him, I said, I got to talk to him. And I said, you're burning the candle at both ends. You know, you got to lay off. This marijuana is going to be the death of you. And he just laughed at me. He just laughed until he died. And he died that day. He died hours later.
Wow. See, that's the thing is, people, that's where we said when I started the show, I did the PSA. We talk about life is short and you should take care of yourself. The point is, that's one of the points. Sometimes you got to follow the warning signs and stuff. People, you know, if people actually follow the doctor's orders, And put you on a regimen to live, such as kidney disease and things like that. You could, and if you follow the way that I eat properly, no sodas, no Captain Crunches and stuff like that, and actually start, in other words, stay off the cases of Coca Cola, stay off the Captain Crunches. So the point I'm saying is to do the exercise. You do the exercises. If you need to do dialysis, do the dialysis. Big deal. We have to wear masks or not at the time. Big deal. It's a matter of life and death. If you want to live, especially if you just got married, you go ahead and you do what you're supposed to do. And you can live for 10, 20, or 30 years down the line. But if you turn the switch, don't follow the doctor's office. Eat properly, constantly eat, drink sodas and Captain Crunch and all the stuff, not doing any exercise at all, sit in your chair watching big screen TVs and not just walking around or anything, then you die. And you die in your painful death.
Yeah, now he had
it's
exercise.
It's on you. It's
I
not
can tell you,
anyone
I can
else's.
Test that, but that's all he did was exercise. He tried to be a big show-off. And I said, go home to your wife.
Yeah, but it's more than exercise. You got to be able to take care of your body, and then using drugs, using marijuana and stuff is not taking care of your body. It's doing the opposite. Same thing. Same thing.
That is
you know,
true.
And that's the key. And life is short. And if you, and especially with drugs, if you are an addict, if you're smoking pot or you're doing or some other drug, and you have a child next to you, even if it's 2 or 3 months old, you are literally killing that child. You got to stop.
I agree. All the studies say that. But even without the studies, if you got cyanide, even if you buy, let's say go to New York City, and let's say all the weed there, which it isn't, it's not produced by slaves, which a lot is, but let's say it's the purest brand of marijuana there is, you're going to have cyanide in it, hydrogen cyanide. How good is that for kids? And how much can a baby or infant take? How much can a pregnant woman handle cyanide, you know, without affecting the baby? You know, and they have no answer to that other than to accuse me of you're just one of those blankety-blank prohibitionists. That's their answer to everything. Everybody's lying. It's like, okay, prove it. Give me the evidence.
Yeah.
And they can't. They
anyway,
don't have the evidence.
Henry, we're running short on time. We got not like 9 minutes left.
Yes.
Any comment about the gum and crab on your gas stubbins?
No,
I don't think they have any say and it's hurting business. It's going to hurt business.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a comment.
Yeah. The other thing is,
maybe
Solo
has a comment.
People have gas stoves in their home because if they lose
power,
gas stoves, they still can cook. Okay. And not everybody has a generator
in
their home.
Like New York,
or solar shit or any of that. So, and there are a lot of businesses that have gas stoves.
Because
the industry is going to get a problem. I mean, sad enough, COVID did it, but their intent is to hurt people.
Anyway, we got a couple minutes left. By the way, the New York Giants knocked off Minnesota Vikings today.
I can't watch football because I don't like any sport, anything that's violent. You know, I think that there's too much violence in our culture.
Then you shouldn't watch.
And I've known a lot of football players.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I don't approve what they do.
You're right. There was even the fight. There was even the fight that broke up on the field in Miami Dolphins, Buffalo. Yeah, there was literally a fight in the field, but nobody. There was two personal foul penalties, one on each side, but nobody got kicked out of the games. In Buffalo,
it's just natural.
But it's not like
I don't think it's natural.
Hockey, football, you're not supposed to have fights. Hockey, you're supposed to have fights. You know, it goes back and forth as part of the
and
game.
I hate to see fights there too. I won't even watch it. I've known hockey players
I go back to the Islanders and the Rangers and the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers. And there always if it's no fight to the game, there's always a fight in the stands. But they're very adamant.
God.
It's like soccer. It's almost like soccer. Soccer, especially in Europe, the soccer games, what they call football over there, all the benches, and not in the team itself, but in the stands, they all come out and fight whoever. And when we had. When we had these games, the World Cup and stuff, in the bar, sports bar near where I used to live, we used to have the Sunrise Police come in and keep security there because one side or the other side always seems to get over, you know, overbearing and end up fighting because
there's
you
something
got alcohol
missing
and everything
somebody
else
who
in there.
Needs to have a fight over that. That's not something. There's nothing. There's no excuse. I always say there's no excuse for violence.
There's less violence in the boxing match.
Well, yeah, I agree, but still the violence. On Twitter, I had a conversation with this guy. I don't use names, but you know who I'm talking about, the guy who had the machine gun or AR rifle who got acquitted on simple murders.
I know who you're talking about.
And he thinks, well, I got acquitted. And I just said, there's no excuse for violence.
No.
There just isn't. And then he stopped talking.
He got acquitted for three reasons. One was that the defense, the prosecuting attorney stuck. Two, the video showed he was self-defense because he had to put his feet up to protect himself, but that didn't work. He would another guy go after, so he took the shot. The only thing that people question on him is why did he bring his wife in the front place, and he did because he wanted to protect himself. Because he knew that Antifa always carries weapons. And
well,
the BLM and
be,
the both.
I think the best answer is to stay away. That's what I think the best answer is. I mean, if you think you're going to have to use a weapon, get out of there. You know,
We did rallies, Tea Party rallies, and everything else. We're all over the place. We never had a violent situation. We never had any arrests. We never had any of that stuff. In fact, the places that we go when we do our rallies is clean up. When we leave it before that, and then when I got there in the first place, we clean up everything, make sure everything's picked up, and we treated the area like gold, and they respect us, and we expanded around different areas, and every place we go, we always were treated and it was good.
Now, given it's Martin Luther King Day coming up, I remember one thing about Martin Luther King that I respected. Was they show pictures of him in a march, and then he hear windows breaking. He said, "What's that? Somebody's busting a window." He says, "I'm out of here," or something like that. You know, he would leave.
He wasn't part of any kind of rioting. Violence. He's a peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And he died by the
sword.
He was
a peaceful guy, and I respect that.
Yeah,
I respected peace.
Yeah. And that's what he should. And I had Albeda King, his niece, on the radio show a couple of years ago. Yeah, she was on back just before Trump got inaugurated back in 2016. She was on. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. We're at the end of the show.
Well, thank you for having me. You're welcome, and thank you for having me. And I say thank you to Scarlett also.
You're welcome.
For having me here.
Okay, we'll be on Wednesday again at 8 p.m. I'd like to thank everybody for 8 p.m. Wednesday. And then, again, Scarlett, any finishing words before I put the song on? All right, Scarlett. All right, she left. All right. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming on. Thank you, Warren. And, again, good night, everyone.
Thank you.
And you know what? If you see something, say something. And we got to stop the flow of drugs. Fentanyl kills.
I agree with you.
And that's the most important thing. So that's the close. Let's, if you see something, say something. Stop smoking. If you're a parent,
I agree.
Stay away from drugs and start saving your child's life. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night,
everybody. Bye bye. Good night.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love you.